The following is a class given by His Holiness Sri Prabhupada Swami on Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, 3rd Chapter, Text No. 24, recorded on 25th May 2008 in Gitanagari, United States.
We're reading this morning from Canto 2, Srimad Bhagavatam, text 24 from chapter 3. Pure devotional service, change of heart. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Tat Ashmasaram Hridayam Bhatedam.
Vidhiyamanai
Hari Namadheyai. Vikriyatata yada vikaro.
Netre
jalam gatra roheshu harshah.
Tat
ashmasaram hridayam bhatedam. Vrihamanai harinam madheyah. Na vikriyatata yada vikaro. Netre jalam gatra roheshu harshah.
That.
Ashmasaram
is steel framed.
Ridayam,
heart.
Bata idam,
certainly that.
Yat,
which?
Vriyamanai,
in spite of chanting.
Hari Nama,
the holy name of the Lord.
Hei,
by concentration of the mind.
Na,
does not.
Vikriyeta,
change.
Atta,
thus.
Yada,
when.
Vikaraha,
reaction.
Netre,
in the eyes.
Jalam,
tears.
Gatra raheshu,
at the pores.
Harshaha,
eruptions of ecstasy.
Translation, certainly that heart is steel framed, which,
in spite of one's chanting the holy name of the Lord with concentration, does not change.
When ecstasy takes place, tears fill the eyes, and the hairs stand on end.
We're getting up there in Krishna consciousness with this verse.
Power down. So,
purport by Srila Prabhupada. We should note, with profit, that in the first three chapters of the second canto, a gradual process of development of devotional service is being presented.
Lights, please.
In the first chapter, the first step in devotional service for God consciousness by the process of hearing and chanting has been stressed. And the gross conception of the personality Godhead in his universal form for the beginners is recommended. So two things. Gradual process, hearing and chanting, emphasized here, and a gross forming a conception of God, seeing God within the universe before us. By such a gross conception of God, through the material manifestations of his energy, one is enabled to spiritualize the mind and gradually, this is now moving into chapter 2 of the first of the second canto, gradually concentrate the mind upon Lord Vishnu, the Supersoul, the Supreme, who is present in every heart and everywhere, in every atom within the material universe. The system of Pancha Upasana, recommending five mental attitudes for the common man, is also enacted for this purpose, namely, gradual development. So that's the purpose. Gradual development, like Rupa Goswami's definition, anukulyena, a cultivation, a gradual development. That's what we're trying to do in our lives and this weekend here in Gita Nagari with focus. That's the purpose. Gradual development of the mental attitude of devotion. So then he, that this Pancha Upasana has that objective also. Worship of the superior that may be in the form of fire, electricity, the sun, the mass of living beings, Lord Shiva. And at last, the impersonal Supersoul, the partial representation of Lord Vishnu,
They are all nicely described in the second chapter. But in the third chapter, further development is prescribed after one has actually reached the stage of Vishnu worship or pure devotional service. And the mature stage of Vishnu worship is suggested herein in relation to the change of heart. I'm going to pause for a moment. Prabhupada sometimes described the process of Krishna consciousness as the elevator method in contrast to the stairway method. You've heard that comparison before. Because he was speaking in New York, he referred to the Empire State Building, and you can go up the stairs, you can go up the elevator and get to the top floor. And the Krishna consciousness movement, or the bhakti process given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is the elevator method, quickly bringing one to the topmost position. So there are many verses in the Bhagavatam which describe that the process of bhakti surpasses and cannot be touched by knowledge and tapa and jnana and offerings of sacrifices and performance of pious activities and rituals and all high-grade activities, but they cannot, you can't pile enough of them up and then you're at the bhakti level. It's not to be attained by any of them, although they are recommended within the Vedas. It's on another platform. So how do we, here we are on this elevator called the chanting of the holy name. That's our process. That's our yajna. And following Shikshastakam, which is our theme for this weekend, we understand the glories of the process. We receive this process and we're appreciating the glories, but the taste, the experience on the subjective level, when will that taste come? So we're drilling down on that question and seeing what's on the other side, what's that process. So in relation to what Prabhupada just described, the second canto, these first three chapters, are taking us on the stairway up to this upper floor which the elevator took us to, and now we're performing chanting, which is, according to scripture, one who is, we recited yesterday, Devahuti's prayers to Lord Krishna, which were referred to by Kalidas when he was speaking with Jadu Thakur. One who is chanting the holy name is to be understood as already surpassed all those things. These things, those things, those things, those, so many beneficial things, so many auspicious, high-grade things. This is the culmination. Prabhus. We're at the culmination. But we don't have any taste. Further development. That's what our discussion is. We've received this gift. How to taste. How to experience what this holy name represents. All these wonderful glories in the first two verses of Shikshastakam. Further development. The mature stage of Vishnu worship is suggested herein in relation to the change of heart. Paragraph. The whole process of spiritual culture is aimed at changing the heart of the living being in the matter of his eternal relation with the Supreme Lord as subordinate servant, which is his eternal constitutional position. So, with the process of devotional service, the reaction of change of heart is exhibited by symptoms. It's not the change of heart, it's the symptoms of the change of heart. And he gives two things. Detachment and attachment. Detachment from the sense of material enjoyment by a false sense of lording it over the world. And an increase in the attitude of rendering loving service to the Lord. So just a little refresh on the topics that Shikshastakam represents. According to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, this humility, trinnadapisunichena, the humility that's lower, feeling oneself lower than a piece of straw on the street. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes this as a kind of humility that's devoid of any sense of material proprietorship or wanting to be the enjoyer of matter. This enjoyer of matter spirit is what brings us to the material world. Devoid of that enjoyment of matter spirit, that's the I'm superior to matter mood and I'm the enjoyer of it mood. But when devoid of that I am the enjoyer of matter mood is where the baseline of the spiritual conception of humility, where what matters to me is not matter. What matters to me is relationship with Krishna, or striving for that, cultivating anukodena Krishna anushimana, striving for that under the directions of Rupa Goswami, which means the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. That humility, I'm going to connect some of the points made previously with this verse. That very, very, very nice verse that Raghunath Das Goswami wrote in Dhanakeli Chintamani. If you remember, above the Radha Krishna Balaram temple at Terkadamba. Adantas Adadhanas Trinan Dantire. He's lower than the straw, he's taking the straw in his teeth. And Idam Yache Punak Punaha. He's begging this, again and again. What is it that he's begging? He wants the dust from the feet of Rupa Goswami. Srimad Rupa Padambhoja Ambhuja Pada Ambhuja, from the lotus feet of Sri Rupa. Rajoham Shyam Bhave Bhave. Birth after birth after birth after birth. Non-stop. This is the prayer of Raghunath Das Goswami. I'll mention it again. He's our Prayojana Guru. He's as high as you can go. Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana, Prayojana Guru. And he wants the dust of the lotus feet of Rupa Goswami. Who received the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, confirmed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu directly, twice in Chaitanya Charitamrita as described. He received Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Raghunath wants that mercy. And he's not going to Lord Chaitanya, he's going to Rupa Goswami's lotus feet, or when he was in Puri. He wouldn't approach Lord Chaitanya directly. He approached Lord Chaitanya only through Swarup Damodar. He was the Raghu of Swarup, the servant of the servant of the servant. That's the elevated position. That's how one comes to an elevated position. It's how one's steel-framed heart can change. So now I'm going to go back to the previous verse. This verse is about the holy name, but guess what the previous verse is about? It's receiving the dust from the lotus feet of the devotee to enter into that holy name. And if one even tries to concentrate on the holy name, I saw a lot of devotees this morning trying to concentrate on the holy name. But if that effort to concentrate the holy name doesn't result in the change of heart, well, the verse is saying one's heart is steel-framed. How do you melt steel-framed hearts? What's that agent? It's not just heat, the heat of effort. It's mercy. One has to be eager for mercy along with making the effort of concentrating the mind. Then the mind can change. Here's the previous verse, text 23. That person who has not at any time received the dust of the feet of the Lord's pure devotee upon his head is certainly a dead body. Like, you know, there's no soul present. That's a dead body. In the purport, Prabhupada quotes King Rahugana, who, you know the story from the fifth canto, King Rahugana, big papiwafi king, he's being carried in a palanquin. Check it out. Four palanquin carriers. I got this nice canopy and woo, I'm the king. Cool. And one of those palanquin carriers is making the bumpy ride. Hey, down there, you know what's good for you? You carry this palanquin properly, or you'll lose your life. Straighten up. And Jed Bharat spoke on such a high platform. The king got down off the palanquin, paid his obeisances at the feet of the palanquin carrier and said, how did this happen? You're this ordinary guy, Sudra, but you're speaking not like a Sudra, you're speaking as an Uttama Adhikari, perfectly realized soul. How did this happen? And Jad Bharat replies, it cannot happen except but one way. Vina mahatpada rajo bishekam. By getting the dust. Pada raja. The dust from the feet of mahat. Mahatpada rajo abhishekam. So he's in this, he doesn't care about designation. He's carrying the palanquin of the king, or speaking eloquent words, or whatever it is, doesn't matter, service. Just some service. But his consciousness is fixed on the personality of Godhead. How is that possible? Only one way is it possible. Only one way is it possible. It is never attained by tapasya, Vedic worshipping processes, acceptance of the renounced order of life, the discharge of the duties of householder life, the chanting of Vedic hymns, or the performance of penances in the hot sun, within the cold water, before the blazing fire, etc., etc., etc. Although there are many activities that can be done that are beneficial, elevating, But it's the mercy of the Mahat, the great soul. Then one can, now back to this morning's verse, go into this more mature stage of Vishnu worship, where there's a change of heart. The steel framed heart changes. Continuing. Vidhi bhakti, or regulated devotional service by the limbs of the body, namely the eyes, the nose, the hands, legs, and as already explained here and before, is now stressed herein in relation to the mind. Some of you were at the Festival of Inspiration. Yes, how many were at the Festival of Inspiration? Do you remember that chart that Satchinandan Swami drew? That the Gopurams, the Dvarams, the four levels of body or physical, then mind, then heart, and then the soul. Remember that? Here, it's right here in the purport. There's, okay, we're chanting. We're on this, we got this mercy. So we're Hare Krishna. But to get to the change of heart, the mind has to be fixed on, in practice, not only Hare Krishna, but the mind has to be with Hare Krishna. Be present with the holy name. And not only like just hang out, yeah, that's a good start, hang out with the holy name instead of being somewhere else while the mind or by the mouth and lips are forming the words. Have the mind be present. Then in a devotional mood, then this change of heart starts to take place. Then the pure holy name, because that's what this Shikshastakam 3 is about, to experience the pure holy name. And as one is advancing in Krishna consciousness, what's the price? According to Rupa Goswami, eagerness. And with eagerness comes these two things, effort and calling for mercy. And you need a deliverer of mercy. According to the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we pray to Krishna, but we don't see Krishna separate from those who are the deliverers of Krishna. That's Rupa Goswami's teaching, that's Krishna's teaching, Lord Chaitanya's teaching. We see the mercy of the devotees as the deliverer of the mercy of Krishna, just like Raghunath Das Goswami. He's as high as you can go, and he's showing us. It's not like he's just teaching us, this is how to do it, guys. He's feeling that. Puna, puna. Srimad Rupa Padam Hoja. Bhave, bhave, lifetime after lifetime. So, from the mind to the heart, and the transformation of heart. It is expected, by all means, that by discharging regulated devotional service, vaidhi sadhana bhakti, one must manifest the change of heart. This is very, I mean, not to get, there's some esoteric sides to this. And our process, confirmed by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, we don't go somewhere to get bhava. It's right within the process of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, when properly performed, when we get the mercy of the pure devotee. And how do we get that mercy? Prabhupada is going to explain. I'll say it succinctly. I'll read it. From the previous purport, the conclusion is, therefore, that one should be more serious about seeking the mercy of the devotee than that of the Lord directly. And by one's doing so, by the goodwill of that devotee, the natural attraction for the service of the Lord will be revived. So that mercy, seeking the mercy, okay, got it. How do we go about seeking the mercy? How do we get that dust? Prabhupada explains in this purport, I'm not going to read the whole thing, it's a long purport, but it's within the instructions. There's dust particles in the instructions. Take the instructions, take those instructions within the heart. You've got the dust particles, and make those instructions manifest in this world through the medium of loving devotional service, making the desires of our founder Acharya manifest in this world. So yesterday Vijay asked this short but very appropriate question: how do we practically apply this thing of the dust of the lotus feet? I'm just now explaining. And I was thinking I should give some practical examples. So it's not like figure it out time. It's really clear. We all have general instructions. And you know, the focus this Memorial Weekend is the instruction of Lord Chaitanya. Trinnadapi sunichena tororivasihishna. That's an instruction. It's a prayer. He's praying, but through his praying he's instructing us. This is how we should... He wants to give us the pure holy name. We have our eyes closed. Where's the pure holy name? We can access the pure holy name through these instructions and the mercy particles of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So like this other two verses that I quoted, prayers from Raghunath Das Goswami. I commit myself to love my spiritual master, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Rupa Goswami, his elder brother Sanatana Goswami, Braja, the residents of Braja, all Vaishnavas, the holy name. But all of those things, from another set of prayers, all of those things devoid of my master, it's like this previous verse, it's a dead body. Without the dust of the lotus feet of the great souls, it's like a dead body. My beloved Radha Kund is like the mouth of a giant serpent. It's fearful. The land of Braja is like a desert. Asked one devotee this morning, how do you like being in Gita? How do you like Gita Nagari? How are you feeling happy in Gita Nagari? Their reply was, Gita Nagari is nice, but it's nice because the devotees are here. And it's true. And you know, devotees that one has deep love and affection for. How many farms are there all throughout Pennsylvania? How much attraction do we have for farms in Pennsylvania? I mean, it's nice. Farming is nice. But why, you know, what is it that's magic about Gita Nagari? Radha Damodar and the instruction of Prabhupada to make Gita Nagari something. And so devotees came here and started to do it. And the sangha of devotees, the kirtan, the chanting of holy name, that's the magic. Manifesting the instructions of the spiritual master brings about the change of heart. It brings us in contact with those mercy particles of the dust of the lotus feet of the pure devotee. And it's not just getting it done. We know too much about getting things done. I know too much about getting things done. And it's getting things done doesn't bring happiness, doesn't bring a change of heart. It brings fruit of mentality. If one doesn't make that thing manifest in the right consciousness. Here's Prabhupada's instruction. Summary, final paragraph. The whole process can be summarized as follows. The advanced devotee, that's not us, but we're looking at advanced devotees, who chants the holy name of the Lord in a perfectly offenseless manner and is friendly to everyone. We saw this in Lord Chaitanya's instructions of the summary yesterday evening. Is friendly to everyone and not inimical to anyone, and no expectation in that friendliness. Just coming from the soul. It's our nature to serve others in a happy manner. Can actually relish the transcendental taste glorifying the Lord, like the question the other day, all these pratipatam purnam rasadanam. Where is that ocean of nectar for which we're always hankering? I'm parched. I'm not tasting that ocean of nectar. How? That taste is offenseless chanting and by being friendly to everyone. The result of such realizations is reflected in the cessation of material desires, etc. That humility devoid of material desire. But that, in this purport, Prabhupada gives some of the symptoms of bhava, the bhava stage. I'll read some of them, they're nice. Kshanti, he translates it as, it was with the, starts with a K. Kshanti, cessation of material desires. Avyartha kalatvam, kala, utilization of time, because every moment is an opportunity for serving Krishna. We don't want to waste even a moment in service to Krishna. Namagana sada ruchi. Eagerness for glorifying the holy name of the Lord constantly. Pratishtan vasatisthale. Attraction for residing in sacred places. Like Vrindavan, or places of the Lord's pastimes. And temples are like that, Prabhupada described. Places of Krishna's pastimes. Virakti, very similar to the other. Complete detachment from material happiness. Mana, shunyata, pridelessness. Thinking too highly of oneself. Thinking pridefully about who I am, whatever it is. What I have, what I've accomplished, what I can do, what I'm going to do. Look out, here I come. Pride. To get on the other side of those unwanted things, this mercy. One can get in touch with, if one can get in touch with the pure devotee of the Lord, this can rectify all bad habits. Otherwise, they shall continue to be stone-hearted and unfit for any treatment. A complete progressive march on the return path home back to God will depend on the instructions of the revealed scriptures directed by a realized soul. So now come to the application part. We have general and we have specific instructions, and I was thinking this morning. Some devotees that are here, you're in places where new temples are being built for the deities, for the devotees, for Prabhupada's mission. So what's to apply this, what we just went, this transformation of heart message? What is it that's your part in that? Your part in, what's the purpose of the temple? Prabhupada gives the instruction. Rupa Goswami gives the instruction, and Prabhupada explains it. The six kinds of loving exchanges. What's the purpose of the temple? To foster loving exchanges. So, there's one type of service. Foster loving exchanges in those places where you have come from and the new temple is there, and see that it becomes filled with loving exchanges. And supposing there's some resistance, supposing somebody has another idea, like, let's just get things done. Don't worry about loving relationships. Let's get things done. Or they have another idea or another idea. You can take it that to get the dust of Rupa Goswami, like Raghunath Das Goswami wants, and I'm thinking of specific people in the room as I'm speaking, take this seriously. Take it up. Get Rupa Goswami's dust by manifesting loving exchanges in your community. Be one of the agents of Rupa Goswami to get his dust, and take that in your heart and see what happens with your taste for chanting as you sincerely, earnestly, eagerly take that up. Some of you are with children, and so we mentioned this yesterday, but what's the instruction for that service that you have of raising your children in Krishna consciousness? It's take them back to Godhead. Whoa! How can I take them back to Godhead? How can I fulfill that instruction? I need some mercy here. But it's embedded within the instruction, and with the instruction also comes resources. Look around. If you're eager to achieve, fulfill that purpose, there's resources to help you fulfill that purpose. Just look around and you'll find the resources. Krishna will send them if your eyes are closed. Just open your eyes and they're standing in front of you, the devotees of the Lord who are very sincere in the mission of receiving the gift that Lord Chaitanya wanted to give. Or the devotees that live here in Gitanagari, and Prabhupada had a vision. Make that vision manifest. What can one person do? Hey, that's a whole thing. That's like a lot of people. I'm just one little person. But take the act of taking the instruction to heart and striving to make it manifest. Otherwise, what are we doing? One on topic is the taste for the holy name won't develop. And without that, What's our life? We're treading water at best. And the current is going swiftly downstream. I've noticed. We get carried downstream, just treading water. We have to be going upstream. We have to be taking shelter of the instructions, making those instructions manifest in this world, in that mood of service, humbly, not fighting, humbly serving the instruction. I could go on, you know, to make it example after example, but each of us, we have our general, we have our specific. I was thinking this morning, when Prabhupada came, he had, the more focused, this is one of the rules of teaching, in Bhurijan's Art of Teaching class. For 1 month I heard this message, that when you're a teacher, it's best you have an explicit educational objective. Anyone take his Art of Teaching course? He drilled it. Every 30 days we got explicit educational objective. Explicit and very focused, practical. So Prabhupada's practical instruction was take the teachings of Lord Chaitanya and bring them. And another was never get money, print books. Now Prabhupada did many things besides get money, print books. But the many things were also to facilitate that one thing. Very focused. So, loving relationship with the devotees. Establishing communities where there's loving relationships amongst the devotees. That's a nice focus. And those loving relationships include book distribution and building temples and making the farm communities real, not just something on paper somewhere that we forgot what that plan was. Make it manifest. Raise your families and build, do all of that so that there's the heart of it is loving relationships. Because it's through that service and loving relationships that we're going to invite the pure holy name into our hearts and experience this transformation, the change of the steel-framed heart. It's a big challenge. It's a lot easier to get things done than to build loving relationships. But what's the use of the things that get done without the loving relationships? It's all going to fall apart in the course of time. Building the loving relationships. So that it's not just so that then I'm happy. My happiness is really what's at the... No. The instructions of the spiritual master. It's what's the desire of Lord Chaitanya. And through Lord Chaitanya Rupa Goswami, we know Lord Chaitanya's desire. And then we can receive the whole, pure holy name and love of God, which he wants to give us through the medium of our service, which means fulfilling the instructions. There we'll get the dust, this question yesterday. Practical application. Dust. Mercy. I've been putting some energy into trying to help Itanagari. And I'll just share this with you. It's like, you know, inside here, here's what's inside. Prabhupada's instruction and Bhakti Tirtha Swami's smile. I want to see Bhakti Tirtha Swami's smile. He came here in part from an inspiration from Krishna, but also one of our senior devotees, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, requested him. See, his preaching was going in that direction, and he said, Tamal Krishna Maharaj said to Bhakti Tirtha Swami something like, Prabhupada came here, he had a certain vision for Gita Nagari, your preaching is moving in that direction, why don't you rescue Gita Nagari, make it happen. So he took that as an indication from Krishna and came here. And there's so many unfulfilled instructions in our lives. We want the chanting of the holy name pure. To get there, this receiving of mercy is required. And wanting to serve and please the devotees is how that will happen. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments from anybody? Yes.
How do you know if you have a steel plate? Like, what are the symptoms?
There's a very nice morning walk conversation in Nairobi where Brahmananda is asking Prabhupada that question in reverse. His asking is, how does one know that one is chanting the holy name purely? Which is the other way of saying, how do we know that our heart is steel framed? We're not chanting the holy name purely. And Prabhupada's answer is it's a beautiful. He goes into detail of describing what chanting purely is like. And it's these symptoms of ecstasy, symptoms of... It's not just a happiness. There's a transcendental happiness. Not like some discussion yesterday, the achieving something of this world, and there's a sense of happiness. You got a scholarship at college. Yes? So, some happiness. But it's not that kind of happiness. It's a transcendental happiness of a loving relationship with Krishna, and as that awakens in its fullness, that's when one is chanting that the holy name purely, or when the steel-framed heart is melted. So if we're not experiencing that, it's a steel-framed heart. So that's high, it's not like one of these things that like something, you get something at a certain temperature and then it goes from a solid state to a liquid state, it melts. It's not sudden like that, it's gradual. The heart gradually melts. The steel-framed heart gradually melts. Or our detachment from matter and our attachment for loving service to Krishna gradually change. Prabhupada gives the example like the rising of the sun. That there's darkness at night, and then there's the light before the sun rises, and then the beginning rays of the sun just peeping over the horizon, and then the direct rays of the sun. So gradual. So the changing of the steel-framed heart is not sudden, it's gradual. But the symptoms, they're identified.
until those symptoms are manifest, still faint heart. So we're going to hear in the morning session after breakfast about respect and humility. So when respect is abundant in the heart, that's the absence of a steel-framed heart. It melts. And humility. Respect towards others, humility as far as how we regard ourselves. The more that's there, the more the steel-framed heart changes. Yes? Because of which?
Because of the empowerment given by Guru Krishna to carry out instructions. I want to know in my practical life, how can I accept mercy without the fear of taking it for granted or becoming proud?
Stay humble. Attend the session this afternoon. This morning. Krishna Leela session is going to address this. Krishna Leela, make sure you address this. She's going to hold a session where one of her many roles, is to take the topics that we're discussing and to bring them to the experiential level, to bring them within. So that's what's required. Just take it within. Just, you know, become humble. Okay, become humble. See yourself as a servant, not as an enjoyer. You're the servant. What are we the servant of? We're the servant of Krishna, but serving Krishna means serving the instructions. Okay, I have some instructions. Let me try to serve those instructions, and that way I'm serving Krishna. Take up those instructions in that mood. So you'll have some exercises, the how-to kinds of questions in the form of exercises.
My question is, in our attempts to bring a culture of loving exchanges based on the teachings and instructions of Rupa Goswami, Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya, and you said we're going to have to deal sometimes with difficulties, and some of those difficulties are with other devotees who also claim to be bringing the same type of culture, and then it pains our hearts when we have to, you know, it appears that we have to fight in order to establish something that we're claiming to, trying to establish the same thing. So how do we deal with those type of emotions and negativity that comes with the circumstance?
I'm familiar with that territory. Love and trust, give and take, is my answer. Right, Krishna Leela? Love and trust, give and take. It's we may, to establish that kind of, the give and take is the fabric, like the warp and the weave. You know, the two threads that go this way and that way and make a nice cloth. And the thread itself is love and trust. So, we carry that in our heart into the situation. We may require or call upon the assistance of another or others or those who are our superior Vaishnavas to shower their blessings upon this exchange with another or others who have this vision. that seem to be in contrast? If things get stuck, then the blessings of other Vaishnavas may help things become unstuck, so that loving relationships is what manifests. Bringing, another way of saying the same thing, is bringing this formula that Prabhupada described, unity in diversity, into play. As long as a complete progressive march on the return path home, back to Godhead, will depend on the instructions of the revealed scriptures directed by a realized devotee. We have to call upon such souls. Now, if one has this attitude that says there aren't any realized souls around here, then one will remain stuck. But if there's some respect for persons realized, or at least more realized than myself, I can turn to those more realized souls and call upon their instructions, how to, or their guidance, how to apply the instructions of Scripture. And then we can have loving exchanges. I'll be very specific, something that I've said a number of times and I don't mind saying it again and again and again. The unity of our International Society for Krishna Consciousness going into the future will depend upon such loving relationships. During Prabhupada's presence, we didn't know what a loving relationship was except with him. And so there was lots of friction between his followers and other followers. But the unity was preserved because of Prabhupada's presence. And after Prabhupada's departure, the presence on this planet of those that had the experience of Prabhupada bringing unity and their faith in him has, to whatever degree it's happened, maintained unity. And after those souls are gone, what's going to preserve it? The unity of ISKCON. International unity. It's going to be the loving relationship. So I see a very super important, I don't know, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, role for Prabhupada's disciples remaining on this planet is to foster loving relationships amongst those who are going to be our future leaders. Because that's going to preserve the unity. So, that's the practical application of your question. Those persons who are in that role and capacity, it's so important. So, like, I've been in this class, the punchline, in case you didn't notice it, I'll say it again. Loving relationships is how we're going to get that mercy. Working towards, and the obstacles, okay. Go back to your place of, you know, leave Gita Nagari and go back to your place of where you came from and watch the obstacles start to happen. You probably are thinking already, based on your question, there's going to be obstacles. Work through those obstacles on the strength of the instruction and the help of elevated souls. If one just goes, oh, forget it, too many obstacles, those people are too much opposition. They don't get it. We don't have faith in the teaching, and our mood isn't the right mood. We're part of the problem. We have to make a deeper commitment ourselves to the principle, and work through the diversity part so we get to the unity part in loving relationships with one another. It's a long answer, but it's that take up about 80% of my time, this question. Yes, Mataji. Oh, go ahead, Krishna Smarana. Then you speak, then we'll give to the Mataji. Yeah.
Prabhupada, in the Vedic times, there was a culture that automatically took care of some of the
differences.
Environmental situation required for melting the heart. And in today's society, we don't have this culture.
I've noticed.
So my point is a question I can say. The challenge is not just a personal challenge to become humble, but to create a culture where such humility will be nurtured and uplifted and brought out.
Yes. Yes.
So
that's one drop in the bucket is what we're doing this weekend towards that culture. But it's, you know, it's a drop. And then we go, it's nice, and it's, there's, even here, there's challenges during this weekend festival thing. But it all gets worked out because the mood is so nice. Then we go back and then it's something a little different. So it's just, you have to grow that. It's not somebody else is going to create the culture for us, because we have to be part of that culture. We have to see that as part of our service. And collectively, faithfully, it's required at a leadership level, but it's also required at a, every level thereafter. I agree, and that the challenge is daunting, but we have to make a difference. One of the things that I appreciate about the youth of today, there's many things I appreciate about the youth of today, but one of the things I appreciate is, it's not even just our own devotee youth, it's a pervasive mood that, like surveys of incoming freshmen at colleges in Europe and America, the survey shows they're choosing careers not by how many dollars they'll earn, but they want to make a difference. They want to be part of something that's going to make a difference. That's a wave. And we should, as preachers and visionaries and well-wishers for the well-being of planet Earth, we should catch that wave and be inviting for those that want to make a difference. I can give many examples of practical exchanges with persons, and that's what people want, young people want. That's great. We should get out of the way and let that wave come in, or guide it, properly, and refine it and purify it, and Krishna centerize that wave. But, that's in this, on the topic of create the culture, the elders of the village determine the generational mood of the next generation coming up. So, at least I, for one, want to continue to, by sound vibration and by example as far as possible, create the mood, or as you're saying, have a culture where loving exchanges are fostered. And then take that medium, loving exchanges medium, to the instructions of our founder Acharya, and in that mood make those instructions manifest in real time, in real space, in real life, and invite persons who want to be of that same mood, the loving exchange mood, participate, encourage and empower them. And there's all kinds of challenges in all of what I just said. It's easy to say it. And then it's, you know, the 80-90% of our time is meeting the obstacles that get in the way of doing it. But staying fixed on, this is the dust of the lotus feet of Rupa Goswami. Make it manifest by his mercy. Having faith in that, feeling the strength, empowerment from that. That's my understanding of how the culture can be manifest in this world. Change gradually. Montague?
I just want to thank you for being here and bringing so many wonderful devotees to Giganami, and just affirm that you're so right that what enlivens the Holy Dham is the association of devotees taking darshan of Sri Sri Radha Damodar. So enlivening to have you here, and I just really want to thank you for your loving, your wonderful example of loving exchanges, of keeping forefront in your heart, as you so sweetly expressed, the Prabhupada's desires for Giganagri and Bhaktisiddhi Maharaj's desires for Giganagri. So I'm very inspired and very grateful.
Can you see Maharaj's smile? That's what we want. Something else? Back in the corner here. Last two questions. Try it again. We got the buzz, so it's probably something's happening. Let me say back what I heard. I maybe caught it right or not. Most of the time in my Krishna consciousness, I'm involved in things centered around myself. And what I'm speaking about is things that are beyond that. So that's a big vision. How do we hold that? That's your question. It starts with the immediate relationships. Charity begins at home. So, your relationship with your husband starts there. Let that be a loving relationship. I mean, I'm not for the edification of the persons in the room. She's doing that. Not like I'm chastising her for not doing that. But that's, I'm speaking principle. So, you know, that which is most proximate, make that a loving relationship. And then you go concentric circles. And to do that one, or the concentric circles, then there's resources that also manifest loving relationships. So, Ananda Vrindavan Devi Dasi may not be thinking, you know, make the world a place of loving relationships. Let me work on my home, my heart. But what happens is, Bhaktivinoda Thakur described that sense of taror iva sahishnana, the tolerance of that stuff that I may otherwise have just avoidance for because it's yuck. It's, you know, this just disturbances. So let me zone out. I don't want to... That changes. in increments tolerance. And as the pure holy name enters, then it's caring deeply, compassion. An eruption, he describes, of compassion. Or those circle of loving relationships expand. It happens when we receive the pure holy name. It just happens as we try to chant with purity, without offense. Receive the in that condition of heart, receive the instructions of our disciplic succession and carry them in our heart. It awakens. It's our program. Our program is we have kirtan. We have this 1 hour kirtan in here. And then this receiving the instruction. So now keep that in the chamber of the heart. Apply it in your own heart. Apply it in your home. Apply it and it'll just grow. Naturally. Let us be part of the culture of loving relationships with whomever we interact. We'll play our little part. What else? You know, it's not our... It may be our interest, an area of concern, but this is... Okay. It'll grow. Taruni? Can you give the microphone to Taruni in the back? I'll give three answers. Most important, at the heart of everything, is our theme for this weekend, and that is calling Lord Chaitanya. Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, calling for Lord Nityananda to please deliver the pure holy name. Because that's how it's going to happen in ISKCON or in the temple or in our Sangha of the broader spiritual family. Another is for, I said it earlier, but I'll repeat it, starting with our leaders, but those who are followers of the leaders to manifest that mood. As you said, it's mother and father and the children who are all part of that family. So it's the mother and father and the children who are part of the family in our ISKCON. The mothers and the fathers have to behave as loving, caregiving persons. And the followers need to receive that and reciprocate back. And, you know, what makes you happy as a mother is not just that the children in your family are nice to you, but are nasty to one another. That's not going to make mother happy. It's the siblings are loving with amongst one another. Like Jai Jagannath's question, what if this child, what if the siblings think, I have an understanding of what mom wants? Take a hike. Put up your dukes. We're going to battle it out to see who has the right understanding of what mom wants. That's not what mom wants. So, that's the second answer. Leaders and all levels of the membership need to express and, by prachar and anchar, exhibit. And the third thing is, thank you very much for asking that question. Please come to Krishna Leela's seminar, because she wants to go into the how-to part. And take it in. Right? She's going to try anyway. But she's not going to lecture like I'm doing. She's going to have everybody do it. That's how she does it. So we're going to end there. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada.